With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
D-Aliens, a happy Trash Tuesday to you. This is Mirazzi, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks again for keeping it locked to the best of the DA Show. Here's all of Tuesday's laughs, hysteria, and hot takes. The best of the DA Show right now.
We know that Kobe, early in his career, took a lot of criticism for trying to be what we thought wasn't him naturally, which was basically a version of Michael. Kobe was criticized quite a bit in the friction with Shaq. His own coach, Phil Jackson, who he accomplished the most success with, would write a book and say that Kobe basically drove him out of LA and drove him out of coaching. It wasn't all clean and shiny for Kobe, but yesterday, there were a couple of things that really stuck out to me about Kobe that weren't just basketball. It is where we begin, your cold open.
He was the early bird, and I was the night owl. I was fire, and he was ice, and vice versa at times. We balanced each other out. He would do anything for me. I have no idea how I deserved a man that loved and wanted me more than Kobe.
He used to call me, text me, 11:30, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, talking about post-up moves, footwork, and sometimes the triangle. At first, it was an aggravation. But then it turned into a certain passion. This kid had passion like you would never know.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic,
heart-rending. It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Vanessa Bryant and Michael Jordan yesterday. I think two of the most powerful speakers about Kobe's legacy. So here's what I took away from it. Three things that were non-basketball about Kobe. Number one, the passion that Michael just talked about. One thing that drove Kobe to the greatness, but also drove him to the other things that he accomplished in his life, passion. Basketball was his passion. But then fatherhood became his passion. And creating became his passion. And all of these other things just fueled him. And Michael, who was driven by an undying passion as well, admired that part of Kobe. And if you were to take something from Kobe, if you could find anything in this life that you absolutely love so much, you can't stop going after it, and it drives you to your best self, that is the most powerful thing. And Kobe found that and kept finding that. It wasn't just basketball. It was other things. He was a guy that wore that passion on his sleeve. Powerful. Number two, curiosity. Kobe was a curious guy. You know, Kobe wasn't stoic like Michael. Kobe kind of always had that impish grin. It was like he was thinking about something and he wanted to know about something, and maybe he knew something that he knew you didn't. But also Michael talking about, and so many other people talking about, how he was picking their brains. He wanted to know how things worked. He wanted to know why successful people were successful. He wanted to know how life and people worked. And that's a pretty amazing thing to leave behind. Curiosity is great. Don't stop learning. Don't stop looking for more information. Don't stop and shield yourself off from what life is. Go out there. Find out things. Learn about people. You'll be happier. You'll be more fulfilled because you'll learn about things you didn't know. The people that are unhappy in this life are people that wall themselves off from learning anything else. No, I know it all. I'm good. Kobe had this never-ending thirst for knowledge and had a curiosity which forced him to text Michael and others at 2 a.m. in the morning about, hey, tell me about the triangle, or what post move do you use here, or what script looks like this, or what do you do in this situation in life? That's a pretty amazing thing as well. And number three, look at the impact Kobe has had and will forever have on men looking at women's sports and being involved. There might never be a more powerful legacy than that for Kobe Bryant. Great basketball player, of course, five-time champion, of course, incredible competitor, absolutely. But a guy that not only embraced being the father of daughters, hashtag girl dad, but also championed them to greatness as though they were alpha males. Yeah, they'll be great. Yep, they're already great. And just because you're a girl doesn't mean I can't embrace you, encourage you, support you the same way dads have done sons forever. It's a different paradigm. It's a different equation, different calculus, and it's powerful. You know, Kobe is the ultimate alpha male, the cutthroat competitor that would do anything to beat you. And here he was softening around the edges because they're daughters, but also saying just as into boys' basketball, men's basketball, the NBA, men's sports as my life has been, I'm equally into female sports, girl sports. That gives a lot of other alpha males a green light to do the same thing. Oh, yeah, I could be proud of girls' sports. I could be proud of my daughter playing sports. I can support the WNBA. I can support women's college basketball. I can support, hey, I can coach girls' basketball at a 12-year-old level. And it can be really important because Kobe said it was important. So if he's accomplished all these things much more than I ever have, then it could be important to me. I could be proud to be a girl dad. It can be better than being a boy dad. I mean, those are things that the sports world, specifically the male sports world, have never really reckoned with. And Kobe made it cool. Kobe made it an amazing thing to embrace. Kobe's life has a lot of different layers. Not all of them are happy and shiny. But what he leaves behind, these tent poles, these pillars of his legacy, are extraordinarily powerful and extraordinarily unique. So a caller yesterday to WFAN, early afternoon, suggested this conspiracy theory, which I think led to a lot of guffawing from listeners and the hosts.
Jay is in Newburgh in London. Jay, how are you?
Hey, Maggie.
What's up, Jay?
My issue that I had with the fight was that, with Wilder, as far as Wilder's perspective, is his head trainer. I don't know if you guys are aware of the reports that he's saying that has walked into the ring that his costume was too heavy. So that's why he lost his legs even before he got to the ring. And also,
what?
His costume was so heavy
that it took
his legs out from him early in the fight.
Had nothing to do with the fact that he got hit in the eardrum.
Someone actually said that. Is that really? No, he didn't really say that, did he?
He did say that. I think that might be the most ludicrous, ridiculous, most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life.
So that's Moose and Maggie on WFAN in New York, and it does sound ludicrous. I mean, the idea that the costume was some type of negative for Deontay Wilder on Saturday. However, after this caller brings this up, wouldn't you know it, Deontay Wilder says exactly that. He says, quote, I accept full responsibility. A lot of things went wrong leading up to the fight and the last minutes before the fight. I paid a severe price because my legs were how they were because of my uniform. My uniform was way too heavy. It was 40 plus pounds. We had it on 10 or 15 minutes before we even walked out and then put the helmet on. That was extra weight. Then the ring walk, then going up the stairs. It was like a real workout for my legs. When I took it off, I knew immediately that game had changed.
I am the epic fail.
Now, Deontay Wilder's outfit was in honor of Black History Month. But for me to kind of describe this to you, it was kind of like the Venom mask. It was like a black mask with just the two eyes cut out, a black crown, and this armor all on top of him. It really looked like a Darth Vader, Transformer, Black Panther type of thing.
Yeah, and right. I wish it wasn't about a serious thing because we really want to make fun of it because it does border on ridiculous, long before we know what it weighs, apparently. And he's always come to the ring in something insane. Like, it's just his thing. But yeah, I mean, I don't, especially he's got a mask and a crown, and he's got red lights around the eyes on the mask. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
So it might sound like an excuse, as Deontay.
Oh, no, it is an excuse.
As Deontay Wilder said, I really let the designers freelance with it. It was really their idea. But by the third round, I had no legs. I was completely done. My legs were gone. I had to step into survival mode very early. But you know me. I'm going to go out of my shield. I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior. That's what I do. Okay. Is this the worst excuse any boxer has ever had? My costume was too heavy?
It's one of the worst excuses across all sports. This guy has been in this building. I've seen him in person. He is a physical marvel.
We've had him on the show.
Right. He is cut from granite, and he's trying to tell me that walking to the ring in a 40-pound cape sabotaged his fight?
Okay. It is clearly one of the worst excuses ever. But do you think there's some legitimacy to it?
Well, if it legitimately compromised him in the fight, then what the heck was he doing to prep for this fight?
Okay, let's just start here. Do we believe him that he gets into the ring after having a 40-pound uniform on for, let's just say, 10 minutes and walks up the stairs to the ring and he has the helmet on? Do we think that negatively affected the fight?
Yes, but not physically.
Oh, just mentally.
Oh, all right.
Here's my spoon in this. That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. So we won't.
Yes. I bet that it was his trainer's idea, whatever, and I bet you there was resistance by Wilder to go, like, why am I, this is ridiculous. He probably didn't want to go through the full theatrics of wearing the costume, was really annoyed that he wore it. Then when he lost, went back to the pre-fight argument he had with said trainer about it, where it didn't actually physically affect him.
Well, probably more a promoter than the trainer.
Whatever.
The trainer would probably be more about the boxing.
Right, exactly. More the promoter. Was more annoyed at that than the actual, you know what I mean? Like, it's an excuse to make afterwards that maybe mentally it threw him off walking to the ring where I don't want to be doing this. Then I was doing it.
Okay, so I kind of thought when I first heard of this, are you kidding me? This is the dumbest excuse ever. You just got worked by a better fighter. Tyson Fury is a monster to try to handle. Fury had the best game plan ever. Like, this is the dumbest excuse of all time that my costume made me do it. However, here is Bob Arum, Tyson Fury's co-promoter and top-ranked chairman, okay? This is Fury's co-promoter. Well, I don't know about the legs affecting his performance, but he had to be very, very negligent coming in with his head covered because that choked off his oxygen. I'm sure that had an effect. John Gruden was there at the fight. He said, what is he, crazy? And it wasn't covering him for 2 seconds. That was a long ring walk. So here's Tyson Fury's co-promoter being like, yeah, dude had a mask on before he's going to go into, major athletic competition. Probably not the smartest thing to make sure you have all the oxygen you need in your in your blood, in your lungs. Is there, once I started reading this, I'm like, well, maybe there is some legitimacy to this, that had Deontay Wilder just come out in nothing but his trunks, his fight trunks, he would have fought a better fight.
So are we to believe, based on this, that every Halloween, kids, if they are not masked, would accumulate more houses and more candy than kids that are masked?
If you have a really heavy Halloween mask on and you were timing yourself for number of houses, number of candy, number of miles traveled, and proficiency, yes. Somebody with a painted face, or even better, like just a cowboy hat on, versus somebody wearing a really big, heavy mask with lacking some oxygen, yes, I believe that would affect your Halloween volume.
That is a fascinating case study in collecting baby Ruths.
Would you disagree?
I guess you're right.
If you're running,
you need the air.
If you're running around your neighborhood back in the day and you're wearing a gorilla costume, okay?
Okay.
Versus...
My Tin Man mask was very heavy back then.
Okay. Just imagine the gorilla costume. And you're trying to do X number of houses. Do you think you or somebody your same size and weight wearing a Kenyon Martin jersey...
Boy, you're really painting picture okay. of Halloween 2000.
Okay, who do you think hits more houses, the gorilla costume or the Kenyon Martin jersey, the Jason Kidd jersey?
I think the Kenyon Martin jersey. You're right. I guess you're right. It's fascinating to think about when you really relive that, but yeah.
Now, which kid gets more candy, the one walking at his own pace, the one being chased by a gang of boys in the neighborhood looking to beat young trick-or-treaters?
Pounded on by the flower socks, yeah, by the bullies.
It's March. We're not reliving that.
But none of these things, though, make me sympathetic for Deontay Wilder. Like, all of them end up being back as a negative on him. Either it's a simple excuse and it's a bad one, or he was physically compromised by a costume at 6'7", 220, or he sabotaged himself by wearing a ridiculously unnecessary mask. Like, none of those things in the end help his cause. And people go, oh, poor Deontay that he didn't win his fight on Saturday.
But I don't know if we should be giving him sympathy. It's part of the equation. Pete the Body Bellotti?
He lost in the 7th round. It's not like he lost in the 1st round.
He was showing ill effects by the 3rd round.
No, it's a big excuse as far as I'm concerned. I said just they're looking for ways to get out of this and shave off the embarrassment of the loss.
Okay, so yesterday when we did the Baker Mayfield Cheesecake Factory story, we had a Cheesecake Factory cheesecake as the pie chart of blame for the Cleveland Browns.
It's just with the new going forward metrics here.
So let's do a Cheesecake Factory cheesecake pie of blame for the Deontay Wilder loss. What percentage is the costume versus what percentage is everything else?
I think it's one piece of cake.
So...
One-eighth.
One-eighth of the pie is the costume.
Yes.
And then the other, what would that be, seven-eighths would be just that Tyson Fury's a better fighter.
I would go maybe five-eighths that Fury's a better fighter. One-eighth maybe didn't train the way he wanted to train. And then you always have to leave an eighth for miscellaneous.
Okay.
Which you did yesterday.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Bogues?
Yeah, I would
one-eighth, one
in...
slice was the costume?
Yeah.
Because I would agree with that assessment. I think it's one slice costume. I think it would be six-eighths Fury is the better fighter and maybe one slice miscellaneous.
Well, my one slice would be for bad training. I'll leave the miscellaneous reasons to the side. So six-eighths for Fury, one costume, one for bad training.
Okay. Pete?
I think it's a half a slice for the costume.
Half a slice.
Wow.
And then 1/16.
1/16 of the Cheesecake Factory cheesecake.
Of course Pete splits the Cheesecake Factory slice.
You have to.
You got to bring it home for later.
I like the calorie count.
That's a big loss if you take the whole slice.
I'm not going to eat my slice now. Is that okay with you guys?
Right. Pete brings home the cheesecake on Friday, eats it Sunday night.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
I don't know why he's sick. Left his cheesecake on the counter for 48 hours.
Why is my belly upset?
Football, big news right now is Joe Burrow going into the combine, which starts tomorrow, and the measurement of Joe Burrow's hands. The Joe Burrow apparently has small hands. Well, you know what that means. It means you can throw for 78% completion percentage and 4,000 yards and be undefeated, win the Heisman and the national championship. I don't know what the size of Joe Burrow's hands matters, considering at LSU last season, he basically had the perfect season. I'm not really quite sure what the size of his hands really tells us. Apparently, he was clocked in. He was measured at 9 inches for his hands. Now, I think we should measure our hands today here on the show. I would like to know, can we pull together a ruler from someplace? I know resources are limited here at the DA show, but we should get a ruler and measure the hand. And Mraz, maybe you can look this up. Is it tip of the thumb to tip of the pinky is my guess?
Why wouldn't it be wrist to the top of your middle finger?
Maybe it is. I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to look up. How do you measure a hand?
Yeah, and where on the wrist does it start?
I'm assuming that the stump.
The stump of the wrist.
Well, like where the... You could tell where your hand starts.
So like right where the wrist bone is, right under your hand.
Yeah.
The meaty part of your...
Yeah, there's a line. Everybody has a line.
Okay. All right. Well, I'd like to know how they measure the
size
of...
How do you measure a hand?
How you measure the side of the hand?
This producing thing has come full circle and he...
So, Joe Burrow apparently at 9 inches is a small hand. Do I worry about this? Absolutely not. No. In no way, shape, or form do I believe the size of his hands affects anything that will happen with Joe Burrow. Because there are guys with monster hands that stink and guys with small hands that are great. How do I know? Patrick Mahomes' hand is considered a small hand by scouting measurements. It's only a quarter of an inch larger than Joe Burrow. Basically a small hand. And when you see Patrick Mahomes out there, you go, yeah, that's kind of a small hand. When you think about it, you're like, hey, kind of has small hands. But Patrick Mahomes is a Super Bowl MVP, a league MVP, and the best young quarterback, perhaps the best quarterback in the game. I don't worry about the hand measurements. Apparently, 9 inches for Joe Burrow is the same hand size as Ryan Tannehill. Now, Tannehill isn't exactly Tom Brady, but nobody ever says Tannehill can't get the job done in the NFL because his hands are too small. Because, what, he fumbles too much? Because he can't grip the football correctly? That hasn't really been Ryan Tannehill's problems. I'm not worried about the hand size at all. If I'm worried about anything when it comes to Joe Burrow, it's this. How much did system, scheme, and play calling ratchet up his effectiveness? Because Burrow was a third or fourth string guy at Ohio State. Joe Burrow at LSU was a good quarterback, but not great going into this season. And in 2019, he exploded. He became the perfect quarterback. He couldn't miss. He threw downfield. He threw a beautiful deep ball. He was great on the road, great at home, great indoors, great outside, great in the playoffs, great in the regular season. He beat everybody. He beat Alabama. He beat Clemson. He put up crazy numbers in every game, basically, and barely threw a pick. So am I worried that Joe Burrow's hands at the next level are too small so that he can't grip it correctly? No. Fumbling it? No. Bad weather? No. Nothing that I would think is any worry about him. The worry is Joe Brady came over from the New Orleans Saints last year, installed the Saints system, and everything took off. Burrow just took off. I'm sure whoever drafts Joe Burrow, namely the Bengals, will try to install something pretty close to what Joe Brady had cooking at LSU. I mean, you'd be stupid not to. But if it's not exactly the same, or if it's the same but at the next level, the effectiveness of the scheme isn't the same, is that where Joe Brady's genius or his assistance in Joe Burrow's success kind of unfolds and shows itself. That would be my worry. You know, was Joe Burrow a product of the system? Now, I don't think that's really fair because in the SEC, against all of those defenses, doing it on the road, doing it in Tuscaloosa. I mean, the guy went to Tuscaloosa and riddled a Nick Saban defense. I don't really think that's scheme. I don't think beating Clemson the way that he did in the second half was scheme. I just think if you're going up against teams that great, it's not like Andre Ware or Ty Detmer or Colt Brennan, where you had these guys that put up crazy numbers passing-wise in college and said, yeah, but that doesn't translate. I don't think you can say that. I think Joe Burrow doing it against that level of competition absolutely translates. But if there was something where you said, okay, DA, bet on Joe Burrow failing, what it's going to be, it's going to be that it was a perfect time, perfect system, perfect year, and that you just can't replicate that in the NFL. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. That being said, I don't think there's any doubt you draft Joe Burrow number one overall if you're the Cincinnati Bengals and you move forward and you just got to convince him that you got to play for us. Even if he's hesitant on it, even if other people have told him not to, you've got to convince him to do it because he's your best chance at success. Mraz, have you found out how they measure the hand size?
Yes, yes. You have to. You were right. It's from pinky to thumb. We have to get a clean sheet of paper, and we have to mark the dots on the tip of our thumb and the tip of our pinky. Then we get a ruler, and we measure the inches from there.
Okay.
So I have contacted some people in management about whether we have a ruler. I've been informed that I spelled ruler wrong in the text message.
How'd you spell it?
R-O-O-L-E-R.
Whoa.
Still don't know how to spell it, but they knew what we were getting at, and I have been told that we may have one.
We may.
Yes, I've been told to go ruffle through a desk next break.
Multi-million dollar radio network with hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border, and we, quote, may have a ruler.
Yes, the belief is there's one under some stuff in a desk.
Okay.
That I've been instructed to go to.
Now, why wouldn't we just measure it with the ruler the first time? Why are we putting it down, marking it on a piece of paper, and then measuring the piece of paper?
So when I did a quick Google stroke, that was the way I assumed the way they said they measured it. Thanks to the Wizard of WatchDA.com, his name is Andrew Kaplan, he has sent me a video of these players measuring it. And from what I can gather, the reason you do that is because, you know, Damon, the hand is made of a lot of bones and veins and cartilage and all of that. So if you were to measure on a ruler from the tip of the thumb, tip over there, you know, the ruler's going to arc a little bit, and you're not going to get fully that.
Okay.
So if you do it from dot to dot on the piece of paper, you'll get a more flat measurement.
Okay.
And that's just how it's done. So we're going to follow protocol here.
I just love the idea that you spelled ruler, R-O-O-L-E-R.
I mean, that's back to that. Yeah, that's what's in my head, because literally moments ago I've been told, please don't tell me you think it's spelt that way. And I didn't know what word they meant that I spelt wrong.
And when you say spelt that way, how would you spell spelt?
We've been through this. It's not, because we've been quizzed, it's not S-P-E-L-T, despite it being said like that.
Yeah, well.
It's S-P-E-L-L-E-D, like spelled.
Yeah.
Nobody ever says, you know, unless you're expelled from school, nobody
well,
ever says
Well, no,
that.
You would say that word is spelled like that, not spelt.
No, spelt like that. Mm-hmm. Everybody says spelt.
Who do you think has the biggest hands of the show?
I bet you do.
Me?
I do. I know I have small hands.
Okay.
So this is not going to come as a big surprise. You know what? I mean, I'm looking at Bilotti's thumb. Bilotti's thumb does look like a Heber National hot dog.
Okay.
So he might have some big hands.
I think Kaplan wins.
No.
Yeah, I think Kaplan.
Kaplan's a skinny mini. He's got nothing on him.
I think Kaplan, then me, then Bogues, then Bilotti.
You're not going to offend me. I know I have the smallest hands.
Then you. That's what my power rankings. That would be my guess.
Yeah. That's fine. That's fine.
I think you're out underestimating my hand.
Yeah?
Yes.
Here we go. Pete's got to brag about his hands.
I got big hands.
It is time for the best audio of the day. It is time for Sound Check.
CBS presents this program in color. An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Moments of levity in the middle of Kobe Bryant's memorial service yesterday. Shaq was first up.
I'll be sure to teach Natalia, Bianca, and Baby Capri all your moves, and I promise I will not teach them my free throw techniques. The day Kobe gained my respect was the guys were complaining. I said, Shaq, Kobe's not passing the ball. I said, I'll talk to him. I said, Kobe, there's no I in team. And Kobe said, I know, but there's an in me in that m-.
Excellent. You know, the Kobe Shaq thing takes on a really different dynamic now, knowing that Kobe's no longer with us, but Shaq is. I think Shaq has always been the more likable, gregarious, clownish entertainer, where Kobe came off as maybe arrogant, maybe standoffish, and Shaq was a lovable big guy. But Shaq and Kobe's rivalry ends up advantage Kobe, because what Kobe saw in Shaq was, if you pushed yourself as hard as I push myself, we would win every single basketball game and every single championship. There'd be nobody that could stop us. And Kobe knew that. You know, they won 3 in 3 years, went to a fourth NBA Finals when basically the bottom was falling out in 2004. And 3 titles in 3 years is a great legacy, but it could have been 7 and 8 years, 8 and 9 years. I mean, that's the type of power. Remember, Shaq in his prime, simply there is no defense for when he is properly motivated. He is just bigger, more physical, more powerful, more domineering, more athletic than anybody else you can put down there. And that includes 2 players if you want to double team him. And if you double team Shaq, guess what? You have one of the greatest scorers of all time in Kobe Bryant waiting to take advantage of that. When you really think back to it, the combination of Kobe and Shaq at their apexes were one of the most devastating combinations we will ever see in a basketball floor. And Kobe knew it, and Shaq sometimes got there, but not enough for Kobe's liking. And Kobe was ultimately right, and Shaq knows it now. But pretty cool to hear Shaq and his commentary about their relationship, and clearly they can become much better over the years. We played some audio on this show of them kind of finally burying the hatchet the last couple of years, and thank goodness that that did happen prior to the accident. Michael Jordan also had an all-time moment yesterday. Michael Jordan, known for the crying meme.
Now he's got me. I'll have to look at another crying meme for the Knicks. I told my wife I wasn't going to do this because I didn't want to see that for the next 3 or 4 years.
I got to say, Michael is still undefeated. The only thing that compromised Michael's reputation or resume was the crying meme. The only thing. And now he's owned that. And now he's gotten everybody to laugh about that in a moment that was kind of still poignant yesterday. So MJ, 6 rings and undefeated because he's even beaten the crying meme as well. Although he still can't build a winner in Charlotte. And finally, here's Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo on the Bill Simmons podcast discussing the potential weight of Zion Williamson.
I heard from a reliable source that he is over 300 pounds.
No way.
You don't believe it?
No, I do believe it. Because I think sometimes when guys get like really big, it's so hard to tell the difference between 300 and 280.
I think that he is 300. I think that he is.
You think he's 2 Jock Alones?
I think that Zion Williamson is, yes, 2 Jock Alones. Yep, I absolutely do. You don't realize what a big boy he is because he's so athletic, because he's so unbelievably nimble and agile, because he jumps out of the building. But you have to realize, the guy's 6'6", and he's listed at 285. It's not a stretch to put another 15 pounds on that body, especially if he's in an NBA regimen and a lot of that is muscle. I'm not saying it is all muscle. Because he jumps out of the building, people don't think that's possible. He's a big boy with a big lower trunk. The guy can absolutely, if he's not 300, he's in the 290s.
Look, I'm not denying that he's a big boy. What I am saying is you watch Zion play, he doesn't look like he has an ounce of fat on him. He really doesn't. He looks jacked up.
Well, muscle weighs more than fat.
All right. First of all, I've heard that old wives' tale. Weight is weight, all right? A pound of feathers and a pound of bricks still weighs a pound, all right?
Oh, God.
That being said, like, there's no way he has 300 pounds of muscle on him. There's no way. That is skinny people living in a skinny world who don't understand how much weight is.
If he's listed at 285, do you believe that number?
I believe that's a little high, too.
You think they list him at heavier than he is?
There's no way they list him heavier.
Why would they do that?
He probably wants to be more imposing.
You think that Zion Williamson...
I think he's closer to 275.
And they list him at 284.
Yes. Look, guys, you're all living in a skinny man's world. You don't know what this is like getting
weight.
Well,
Wait a second. How tall are you?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm 5'11 and a quarter.
And what was your peak weight?
My peak weight? 298.
Okay, come on! He's got 7 inches on you, and you think that he couldn't have been as heavy as you were?
I lived on half-price appetizers at Applebee's and milkshakes. That's not... He's jacked.
He has 7 inches on you and is about twice as wide.
He's not twice as wide.
But his lower body, his legs are thicker than your neck.
Like Saquon Barkley's got thick legs. Is he weighing 300 pounds? Think about how much 300 pounds is in the NFL.
But Saquon Barkley's 5'11". He's 6'6".
I think you're giving too much credence to weight and height here.
How much do you think Charles Barkley played at?
Charles Barkley? 80? I bet you Charles Barkley played at 280.
Are you kidding? He was much closer to 300 pounds. But even if it's 290.
But he's bigger. He's fatter. Zion's not fat.
Zion is thick. If you saw Zion walk into this studio, you'd be like, oh, that's a big
one. I'm not denying he's
not
big.
Not tall. He is thick.
300 pounds is a lot of butter, boys.
Yeah, he's got a lot of butter.
Forget the fat. The comparisons, though, there is no way New Orleans is listing him as heavier than he is.
Correct. He may want to be listed as a little heavier.
No. But they would say, listen, dude, we've already had this conversation about your weight when you got hurt. This is what people talked about, that you were too big for yourself.
Correct.
You may weigh 330. We're saying 285. If they list 285, he's north of 285. There's no way they're going up on weight.
You know,
they go up on height, down on weight.
This has to go to why are players' weights being listed? Why?
Well, do you think it's less fair to have weights listed than salaries?
I think it's a little different salary-wise because we're paying our money into giving their salary. I think that should be public. I think a person's weight, that should be your own. If you don't want to give your weight, you should not have to give your weight. I don't think that should be mandated.
Okay, so Zion Williamson, 6'6", weight N.A.
Don't even give his unknown. Height. Don't give his height. Just, you know he's big.
No height either.
No, I think it's stupid.
That's too invasive for you.
I think that we should cross some HIPAA laws there at some point.
What about age? Is that a hippo law violation?
No, age is fine.
A hippopotamus law.
Age is fine. I just think I get the
good. What about hand size?
Again, that falls into, you know, height, weight. I guess if you want to reveal it, it's fine. I would not feel comfortable if I was in the NBA with anybody knowing my weight.
Which is why they don't tell you how fat they actually are.
Exactly, which is why they always go down, which is why they're listed as a lighter weight than they are.
As the only one in this room who's ever come close to three spins, I find it highly offensive that you guys think you could judge what could be three spins.
Okay, let's put it this way. When was your peak heaviness?
Overnight days.
Okay, so 2013, let's say. You hit 298, oof. You said.
I hit 298. It's a wonder nothing got done on the show.
Okay. 2013 was pre-ranch dressing.
Okay.
Window,
so here,
right?
Right.
So guys, okay. So we put Mraz at 298 on a plank. Okay, a piece of some
right
type
on
of,
here,
of
on
wood.
This
some
desk.
Type of wood though,
sure.
That we can lift. Okay, or he's in a chair like one of those Greek weddings. Okay. So we put him in a chair at 298, and me, you, Bogues, Bilotti, and Kaplan, we all get each corner of the chair to lift him up.
Yeah.
Okay? We then get Zion currently and put him in the same chair. Who do you think it's tougher to get up?
Me.
No way. Zion.
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 And his weight is distributed better because he's taller.
No, but wait a second. Because now, if whether they both weigh 298, I don't know how much different it would be to get them up.
My point is Zion,
off the ground.
My point is Zion's way heavier than Mraz was at 298. That's
no
my point.
Way heavier? Do you remember the picture of me after eating the White Castle in the No Limit shirt that clearly had a limit?
Yes, and I'm saying...
Now look at Zion Williamson and tell me that's the same weight.
I'm saying...
Tell me that's the same weight.
I'm saying Zion, if you were 298, Zion's 308.
I think this needs to be the poll question. I think on Facebook, we need to get that picture and we need to get Zion. Do you believe Zion once weighed more than Mraz did here?
He's 6'6", 6'7".
See,
that's 7 or 8
you're
inches
obsessed
on you.
With this height
thing. Yeah,
thing.
You think?
No.
It's kind of a big deal. He's
Wade
a bigger
is,
human being
Wade
than you.
Wade is all about mass
you
and
doofus.
Girth, not about... So Manute Bol weighed more than me?
Well,
I mean, are you nuts?
Manute Bol
think
was
about that jackassery that is.
He was a twig.
Zion is tall. He's not
fat. Is he
fat.
A twig?
Yes.
He's a twig.
No, Zion's not a twig. Zion is built. He's physically a specimen.
It would be harder to lift you up. Bilotti, harder to lift up Mraz or Zion Williamson at a Greek wedding?
Zion.
Thank you.
I wouldn't believe Zion was 300 if the Pelicans didn't list him at 285. Because when I look at him, I don't go 300 pounds.
But you don't realize how tall these guys are. They all are huge.
No, I get it, but he doesn't look loose. He doesn't look 300 pounds.
Guys,
and I know how tall he is, I know how wide he is, but the fact that they put him at 285 means he's already in the neighborhood of 300.
Has anybody gone to, like, shoot a round of an NBA game and watch courtside how large the human beings are?
Of course.
It is staggering. Like, we don't think about Kevin Garnett being 7 feet tall. The guy, like, Giannis is nearly 7 feet tall, but he's perfectly chiseled, so you don't think that the guy is that much bigger than a normal human being. If he would walk through the door, you'd be like, oh my God, that's not our species. He doesn't look like a normal human being when you see him up close. You just see him on TV, from this bird's eye view. Zion Williamson is an enormous human being.
But by that notion, you make it feel like every power forward in the NBA should weigh 300 pounds.
Most of them get to 275.
You think Dwight Howard weighs 300 pounds?
I think he's pretty damn close. Yes, he's 275.
I have a heart. Okay, that's another 25 pounds. That's a lot of weight.
Okay.
Think about how hard it is to lose 25 pounds.
But we're not talking about Dwight Howard being too heavy. Everybody's whole thing about Zion has been he's too heavy, and he's only, 19 years old?
So by that, he didn't even grow into his body yet.
Well, that's the fear.
That's the fear, exactly. Okay, Boomer Esiason walks around these studios. Don't you notice how big a man he is?
He's a big man.
He's 6'4".
He's
220?
I think he's heavier than 220.
I would say Boomer's probably 260.
He was playing at 220.
So if you look at Boomer and see he's 260,
exactly.
You can't see 40 more pounds
right.
on
I'll
Zion?
I'll give you another 20 on Zion.
No, 20 in each leg, each thigh.
But again, man,
I've never seen you this obsessed with a man's lower extremities.
Well, I'm trying to make it a point here in an argument. I'm not obsessed with his thighs.
You
I'm
keep
saying,
bringing up his street trunks.
Yes, because that's where he's keeping most of his body weight. It's all, hips and below.
If we get him to get on a scale, I'll happily admit I was wrong. I just refuse, as somebody who's lived at that weight, to look at Zion and go, that's 300 pounds. I think I do have a different perspective on this, guys. I've lived with the jelly rolls. I understand what it's all about. You've never lived in that world.
No, your girth has nothing to do with Zion Williamson.
Also, by the way, all we're saying Zion is two Jockalones.
I love that's the metric measurement here.
But, I mean, if that really was true, he's easily two Jockalones.
Guys, we've had doubts on whether Peter Schwartz weighs 300 pounds.
No, no, no. We've never had that debate. We had the debate of whether he's 400 pounds.
Did we get that
high? Yes, yes. Yeah. It was whether
did we
he
get
was...
get that high? Because the debate was 300.
No, because it was he 385 or was he four spins?
Because
I thought
he's
it was
six whatever.
Because he's huge. Yeah.
Right.
He's 6'2", 6'3"?
Okay, yes. For some reason I thought the Schwartz debate was whether he was...
No.
I thought he was denying his...
Maybe 350 was
what matters is our plan.
Yeah, our diet plan.
Manute Bol, by the way, listed at Basketball Reference at 7'7", 200 pounds. Dwight
so
Howard...
Zion's another 100 pounds heavier?
Dwight Howard, 6'10", 265.
Yes. easily
35 pounds heavier than Dwight Howard. He's the same muscles as him. Come on, guys.
He's two
the same muscles as
he's
him.
He's two Jock Alones. I know that. I know that.
I can't believe Jock Alones are the standard measurement we are working with here on this earth.
Poor Billy.
Yeah, and when you use the Jock Alone system.
And is that the new scoring system they're going to use in the NBA All-Star game next year?
But the thing is, if you go by pounds, 300 sounds like too much for Zion. Two Jock Alones doesn't seem like enough.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
Right?
Two Jock Alones doesn't feel like it's nearly enough.
If I'm Zion, Jock I'm Alone. Refusing to be Jock Alone. It's like, I'm a pounds guy.
Jock Alone's head equals one of Zion's thighs. And that's what DA's saying. He's holding all his weight.
Like I'm Zion's walking guy. On two Jock Alones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, his two legs are two Jock Alones.
No way. His feet, his head. Jock Alone's head is like a big medicine ball you can't bench press.
Okay. So this has to be the poll question. Do we say, is Zion two Jock Alones?
I hope everyone
and
gets
are
that.
You a Jock Alone guy or a pounds guy?
It's like Kelvin. Nobody knows how to convert it. All right. Is Zion two Jock Alones or is it who weighed more? Mraz at his fattest or Zion currently?
I mean, I would prefer not to use the word fattest.
Okay, heaviest.
Yes.
Mraz at his heaviest or Zion? And say that you were 298 when you ate the Crave case.
Okay, all right. And if maybe Cap could dig up that picture.
Say, the question should be, has Zion passed Mraz's heaviest point of 298?
Yes.
All right. Sounds good. I've lived in that world. It's a tough world to live in. I don't believe that he's dunking over everybody in the Western Conference at that weight. Natural body parts thrusting up.
No limits. That shirt had a limit because it nearly split that night. It was holding on for dear life. No!
I'm just a saying.
Not another burger. Come on.
It's not just a catchphrase.
Not another slider.
I'm so sick of the Crave case.
It wasn't meant to challenge the slogan. I'm just a saying.
This guy.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I'm trashing my wife. As if having a newborn, almost 10-week-old at home wasn't enough.
Uh-oh.
This Thursday through Monday, she's decided it's a good idea to have her best friend who had recently moved to Florida come up because her friend also had a baby 6 months ago. They would like the babies to meet. They, or she, does not have family up here anymore, so she will be staying in my house with the baby. So now I've been dealing with all of this at home. I will now have a 6-month-old, a 10-week-old, and two mothers staying under my roof of my house for 5 days this weekend. And I don't know if a 6-month-old cries. I don't know what sleeping pattern. I don't know what's eating pattern. But one kid's driving me up a wall. Do I need two babies, 6 months or younger, under my roof all weekend for 5 days, Danielle, so the babies can meet? Like, they're going to remember? They're going to meet each other? Come on, this isn't a Tinder date. They're babies. Now I'm going to be driven up a wall all weekend. Get them out.
Trash them.
Warning, hazardous material.
Should we trash Danielle or trash the babies?
Well, I'm not.
Because you don't mind the friend.
No, the friend's great. The babies are innocent, too. But I think Danielle needs to have a little conscience here. Well, I'm going to say, of course your friend can stay with us. But at the same time, why are we doing it? Can we wait for our baby to settle down and get to a rhythm? She screams all night. Now I got another baby. When am I sleeping Thursday night to get here Friday morning? I might as well sleep here.
So this means you can only watch, what, 11 hours of sports this weekend? Instead
I don't know.
13
it's
or 14?
I might go to my parents.
Pete the Body Bellotti, who are you trashing?
Well, I am trashing the establishment that got me sick over the weekend.
Oh.
It was like a crime scene on Saturday. Yeah. I was very close to placing the bed or a pillow and a blanket right by the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
It was just nonstop chaos going on.
So you were living in the bathroom.
Oh, yes, living in the bathroom. And this place, usually reliable. I should have known a while ago that it was a problem because the the service was bad and the food was too spicy. So that was a big
Do you
giveaway.
Think it was food poisoning or was it just too spicy for your system?
I think it could have been a mix of a lot of things, but food poisoning and maybe it's a little too spicy. So a combination of things.
And what did you eat?
It was a burrito.
What kind?
It was a chicken burrito.
Chicken burrito.
Yeah, it didn't have anything really exotic on it, but the chicken was just very spicy. Beyond spicy. I was like, what
is this? What are you, Deontay Wilder?
Yeah, this is totally not what I was expecting. And they really went too far with the spice.
Okay, all right, we'll trash them.
Are those maggots?
Can I just trash that?
Sure, what do you want to trash?
Hold your nose. I mean, that's some smelly rubbish. That's his
description. For how he got sick, that? It was too spicy, so I was out of work for a day. I was sick for three. It was too spicy.
I'm not a doctor.
Clearly, you're not a doctor.
Well, I know that. Like 7 hours later, I was all sick in the toilet.
So you think the spice caused you an illness?
I think it led to it. I think it was it aided in the illness.
It aided. So you already had an illness.
I think the illness was there from the food, but the spice didn't help. It was the icing on the cake.
Yeah, I'm just going to trash that, DA, onto you. Thanks.
Illegal dumping.
All right. I am going to trash what are supposed to be trained broadcasters that like to say like and right a lot. There's a new verbal crutch that you probably heard over the last, let's say, year and a half, where everybody seems to say right, as though they're waiting for somebody else to agree with them before they can continue with their story, right? So, like, right? Like, this happened so-and-so, right? So, like, this is what happened so-and-so, right? This happened, right? And you're like, stop saying right. I'm not going to agree with you in the middle of the story. Get through the story. Get through your take without waiting for affirmation. And once again, this verbal crutch is about, my guess is, how you need likes on Instagram, retweets on Twitter, follows on Facebook, that everybody's waiting for affirmation about everything. Just tell your story or give your opinion or tell the anecdote or have whatever statement you're going to have without stopping to say right. Trash them.
So frustrating.
Travis in Houston tweets, Yao Ming was 310 when he played, and he was a twig. Zion, 300 is an easy proposition. Now, Yao was not a twig, but Yao being 310, don't you see where we're going here, Mraz?
Yeah, I'm going to refuse to believe that he was ever 310. By the way, I also found the No Limits picture I got.
You found it.
I found it.
Which was you at your most disgusting.
It's gruesome. It's a disgrace that I was employed here at that weight.
One night, we...
You spelled ruler R-O-O. No Limit shirts are the least of your concerns.
One night, we ordered a White Castle Crave case, which is 36 sliders, I believe. And it was 36 cheeseburger sliders. Mm. And we wanted to see whether Mraz could eat the Crave case himself. After about 24 of them, the picture of him slovenly exploding like Jabba the Hutt through this No Limits t-shirt was a sight to behold. We'll tweet that out. At the scouting combine, Joe Burrow, the presumed number one pick in the NFL draft, measured his hands at 9 inches. You measure them tip of your pinky to tip of your thumb. This happens to be a relatively small measure for Joe Burrow. Most quarterbacks have hand sizes larger than that, although there's been guys like Ryan Tannehill who have had very nice careers with a 9-inch hand. Burrow tweeting, considering retirement after I was informed the football will be slipping out of my tiny hands, please keep me in your thoughts. Nice job.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Making fun of it, owning it.
Did you notice that his handle is Joey on there? Should we be calling him Joey Burrows?
At Joey Burrow?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know?
Is that a thing?
I'm not sure. It's kind of like when Mitchell Trubisky went from Mitch to Mitchell and nobody knew why.
But he made that, like, I feel like the Bears even on his behalf, like, made an official declaration on that.
Totally.
Does he want to be Joey? Small hands Joey? Joey Small Hands? Joey Short Fingers.
You know what? I'm no longer harassed. Sean.
You want to go by Sean?
Just Sean now. Sean.
Here's the thing. You don't get to pick your nickname. That's the one thing. Nicknames are given to you. You don't get to pick them. It's unfortunate. Mahomes then tweeted, because he's only got 9 1/4 inch or 9 1/2 inch hands. Mahomes tweeted, "My small hands are doing all right so far. I believe in you." Multiple crying emojis. So these guys making fun of this pseudo storyline, which I would be too. So we did the measurement here in studio. It should be noted that Mraz quickly declared, "I'm going to have the smallest hands." Why did you know that you had small hands? How would you know that?
From my flag football time. I know that I have small hands. It's been made fun of a ton. I know from buying glove sizes I have small hands. It's why I could only really play tight end in flag football and not really make it to college ball, is because of my hands. I have small hands. It's what I've had.
So you think the size of your hands negatively affected your ascent to college football?
Well, to be a college athlete, sure. I think my hands, if you ever look when I walk with shirts, my arms and hands are tiny. I'm a disproportionate penguin. And you're just not going to make it like that as a college athlete. So I knew my life was going to be in sports broadcasting.
Did you say he's a disproportionate penguin?
Sure did. Well, Mraz was correct. He clocked in at the smallest hands, only 8 inches.
Cess Lavi. Rather be small there.
So 1 inch shorter per hand than even Joey Burrow.
Yeah, I got. Look, am I getting. The Bengals would never draft me, and I make no qualms about that.
Tiny hands.
Tiny hands. I know I have tiny. You guys are looking at me like I got out ahead of this story. I readily admitted. Look, I know I have tiny hands. They're soft. They're nice. I could be a hand model, perhaps. I just don't have big hands.
You know what's interesting?
Oh, I'm quite the crevice.
You also are a disproportionate penguin. You are also not a handsy guy. You're not a guy that throws your hand on the back of somebody's shoulder.
No.
You're not a guy that wants a handshake. You're not a handshake guy.
I'm really not.
You're a fist pound guy.
I do prefer a fist bump. You're right.
But even that you kind of weakly go in for.
I'm never confident in a handshake because sometimes they hurt the other way. Like, it's almost like you have to out-muscle somebody with a shake. You ever notice that? And if you ever get one where it's like a good pressure point, then you just feel like you're a dead fish.
Wow, so small hands has really affected how you approach people.
Sure, I guess I never really thought of it that way, but exactly. I would rather just say, hey, what's going on? We don't have to make contact or anything like that. There's no need for it.
So Mraz's smallest hands here. Bilotti thought that he had some of the biggest hands. I had guessed him at second smallest. I would be correct. Bilotti had the second smallest hands, 8 5/8.
I would say, much like our Zion conversation, thick hands. I think if you...
Bilotti's got sausage fingers.
Like, Bilotti might have the weight on his hands.
The meatiest hands.
Like, if you were to put our hands on a scale, Bilotti's might weigh the most. They're just not the most in length.
So not the widest, but meatiest.
Oh, they are meaty as all heck.
There's some hooks,
meat
hooks.
That's a hand that's handled a Roy Rogers Gold Rush chicken before.
Many of them, yes.
Bilotti, are you disappointed you came in second to last?
I'm surprised, not disappointed. It's just measuring our hands, so I'm not really disappointed.
Bogish had tried to get out in front of the storm as well, thinking that he had the smallest hands.
Yeah, I think I still do, relatively speaking, just not in this group, apparently.
Bogish came in third, 8 3/4.
I'll take it.
Have you ever wondered if you had small hands?
I don't wonder. I know I have small hands. I know I have small. I don't buy.
Those look average.
No, I feel like they're small. And like Sean said, I mean, when I've had to buy like gloves that have a size, usually like something skewing towards a medium is the way to go, not a large. Baseball gloves didn't necessarily fall off my hands, but I thought I had small hands. I think I do in general, but I'll take my 8 3/4. That's almost a full burrow.
That's right. I had guessed I would come in 2 and Cap would be 1. I knew I had pretty decent sized hands because I have larger extremities. Now, I might be thin, but I've got a very wide foot. My foot size is average. It's only a 10 1/2, but it's very wide.
You got to buy the wide ones.
I don't usually have to, but if I have normal cut shoes, it's going to hurt until I break off the sides of them, almost like through it with the side of my feet.
Oof.
So I knew...
Do you get pedicures with those?
No.
That might help soften everything.
Maybe. So I knew I was kind of wide in the extremities, I thought Kaplan would beat me, though. Kaplan's, I think, a little bit taller than me. He's a little bit bigger bone than I am. Turns out me and Cap tied at 9.5.
9.5?
Now, we both have bigger hands than Joe Burrow. Is that a concern?
I don't think it's a concern, again, because you guys, he has more other gifted talent abilities.
Yeah.
I will say in one, I did all the measuring here, and I think I did a really good job. One minor observing situation, though, Kaplan has bizarrely long fingernails for a male, and I have to say, I think you might technically have a hair lick longer hand. Mm.
I did just cut my nails last night.
His were supported by the fingernail on his thumb being stuck out just a little bit. So, again, very, still very similar. So I made that much of a difference, but you might have him by a hair.
But you know what? If it's a long fingernail on the thumb and a long fingernail on the pinky, and that's a quarter of an inch or an eighth of an inch,
it can make all the difference.
That's an extra quarter of an inch that he got.
Look, definitely time for the Clippers for Cap. No question.
So that is the size of our hands here on the show. Largest 9.5, smallest 8. And so you can go ahead and measure yourself. It goes pinky to thumb. That's how you would measure it, so you can compare yourself to us.
Hand on paper, stretching your fingers as far as you can. Mark your thumb, mark your pinky, and then use a ruler to get that measurement.
Can you please do this also, Mraz? During Bogus's headlines, can you see what Kawhi's hand size is? How dominant is Kawhi's hands to our hands?
Anything else for you, Uncle Lewis?
I can't believe your hands are 9.5. You're like lumberjacks, you and Kaplan.
Yeah, and Cap went to Colorado.
Right.
For college.
I got Kawhi's hand size.
Okay.
Do you care to guess?
Yes. I would guess it's, if I'm a 9.5, he's an 11.
An 11. Bogus?
Yeah, 11, I think. Sure.
Bilotti?
I say 11.5.
Bilotti wins. He's got an 11.5. 0.5 is still a half, right?
He's got 2 inches on my hand, so an inch on each side.
That is insane.
How do you eat a hot dog?
Easily.
You just grip it like a big crane.
Right. You probably eat a hot dog like I'd eat a Reese's Pieces.
That's two in his hand at the same time.
So you think that he picks up a hot dog between his thumb and his forefinger.
All right, just pop it in his mouth.
He's not a
giant.
No, but
Sean, again, his mouth is not bigger than yours.
You know what I mean?
No, I don't. I don't think you know what you mean.
Also, when you eat a Reese's Pieces, is it in a bag of like 50 Reese's Pieces?
Right, I usually do the jingle. I get a bunch in my mouth, like that.
No, but again, he's talking as if his mouth was huge, Kawhi, and he could just throw a hot dog in like Sean throws a Reese's Piece.
Yes, exactly right.
That's not what we're doing
or
here.
Or that through his hand, he would grab like 5 hot dogs and just throw them into his mouth.
I'm just talking about the imagery of how the hot... I understand that his mouth might... His mouth's probably bigger than mine anyway. Maybe a Reese's or... How about an Oreo? The way an Oreo sits in my hand is probably the same as Suprette sits in a Kawhi hand.
Well, different shape. How an Oreo sits in your hand is how a hamburger sits in his hand.
There you go.
Okay, so we're going by shapes. Okay, yeah. Either way, imagine being... I think I never has to use a fork and knife.
Again, what's that?
Even for a steak?
I bet you he can hold a ribeye and just tear at it like a dog.
So can you.
No, but it's way easier to handle.
Even with your tiny hands, you could manage picking up a steak and biting it without a knife and fork.
But it would look weird if we were at an Outback together.
But it wouldn't look weird if Kawhi picked up a steak and ate it with his hands.
Not the same as it would for me, because I'd have Oju falling down my wrist and all of that. We sit down in an Outback right now, me and Kawhi, and Kawhi picks up his ribeye and is eating it like that. People go, oh, Kawhi's having a chicken finger. I pick it up like that, and it's like, what is wrong with this doofus?
Kawhi's having a chicken finger. That's what we would mistake a giant T-bone steak for.
It's the worst chicken finger ever.
It's 11.5 inches.
Look at him tear into that bloody chicken finger.
Super burnt right on the inside. It's weird chicken you got your Outback.
Wow, that looks really good. That bloody pink in the center chicken tender.
Hopefully it's not too spicy. It'll make you sick.
Oh, guys, it was all
got
about-
that right.
You're not going to sit there and stare and examine the food. You're going to walk past the same handle and a snake looks like a finger. That's all. Au jus.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
In a stunning turn unto itself, we are not in Florida this morning. We are in Texas, Dallas specifically. There is a building in Dallas that refuses to be destroyed. It initially survived implosion on the 16th because apparently some of the explosives at the real, like, central location did not go off. So this building withstood explosions but was left leaning a little bit to the left. It became the Leaning Tower of Dallas. They got a little social media love. People were going there doing that silly picture where you, like, pretend to hold up the Leaning Tower of Pisa. They're doing it now in Dallas. Then yesterday, or Monday, excuse me. No, today is Tuesday only. So yesterday, yes. Monday, they tried again to knock this bad boy down with a wrecking ball. And because people had learned about the building, were fake in love with it, they showed up to watch. Wrecking ball. Thump, 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 thump. Hours go by, building still standing, still leaning. They are now predicting it will take weeks for them to finally get this thing to the ground.
When was this building built?
That I couldn't tell you.
Because is this a remarkable marvel of modern technology?
I mean, it wasn't built in the Stone Age.
Like, I'm wondering if this was turn of the century or 1800s and things were just built with a ton of rock granite and cement.
I don't see a...
Or was this just something that happens to be, you know...
Strangely well built.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see a birth date, so to speak, of the building in this write-up.
If this building was built in the 70s, this would be kind of shockingly efficient. But if this was built in, like, 1910, I'd be like, yeah, I've seen some of the buildings, like... in the Northeast that was built in the late 1800s, turn of the century, and those things hard to knock down because they're built really, really well.
Well, on that note, Bogus, did you mention what they're building in place of this?
I've not seen that either.
Because at this point, I think if you've given this good two hardy tries, I think you embrace this as a landmark, and whatever you're building there, you build around it.
Yes. At this point, it has its own history.
Right.
Yeah, but it's covered with scaffolding. There's rebarb and wires hanging out of it. You can't leave it as is right now.
Oh, this
it's
building,
coming down.
I'm looking at this building. This building was built in like the 60s or the 70s, I think.
It was the former Affiliated Computer Services building, but has now survived two attempts to knock it down. And now they're going to take a couple of days to try and safely bring it to the ground. It's being demolished to make way for a $2.5 billion mixed-use project.
Okay,
that's
so
all it says.
I have two questions here. Number one, do you think it's a possibility that the reason that it's not getting knocked down right now is because it's haunted?
It's on the table, right?
No.
No, seriously.
No.
Do you think that there are ghosts inside the building that are like, you know what, you're not getting away with knocking down my old home?
Look, I undeniably believe in ghosts.
Okay.
There's no way I think ghosts can prevent a building from falling.
Okay, ghosts could do a lot of things supernatural.
I think ghosts could haunt the grounds. I don't think ghosts are going to keep a wrecking ball from knocking this down.
But did the ghosts somehow prevent the explosives from going off correctly during the implosion?
Thank you.
You think so many ghosts were there? First of all, this place of work. How many ghosts are going back to where they worked? Can you go back home? Go home. You're a ghost.
Well, I don't know if this is just an office building. Maybe this was once upon a time also a residential building. Maybe this is where a ghost might have been killed or a ghost.
But that many to keep it up? I mean, what kind of ghost are we talking about here? Lee Harvey Oswald living in?
No, one good ghost can keep this thing up.
I mean, one good ghost could pull out a tripwire for a bomb.
One good ghost with the right connection to the afterlife, and they can make sure that things don't get imploded.
Well, then where's that good ghost helping me lose weight? Why is he holding up buildings in Dallas if we have this powerful ghost out there?
Because that ghost says, you know what, Merez, work your ass off. You've been lazy at everything else. I'm not going to help you here.
So he could just be Superman holding up a building that has no purpose. I don't buy it. This is not the kind of building. You want to tell me this is on some kind of burial ground or something like that, maybe in the past, and a bunch of zombies are rising up? That's a little different.
Okay, how about that? You're right, because this building looks like it was built in the 60s, so it's probably not old enough to have ghosts that have lived there. But what happens if it was built on a burial ground and there are a lot of ghosts that are like, hey, you're not knocking us down around here and building a multi-use facility on top?
That's more believable. That, you know what, you've already built once, we let you be. I was buried here, I died in the Titanic, now I want to lay in peace.
So you think that there was somebody who died in the Titanic?
I'm just going back to people that would have died a long time ago before this was built.
How about, like, Native American burial ground going back centuries.
Well, that's, and they were strong warriors.
How about, okay, second question. Would you ever work in this building knowing that it was tough to knock down?
Nope. Well,
or would you run there because you thought it would be the safest place in Dallas?
To me,
but what are the odds that you have back-to-back safe places?
To me, it's a little too worrisome. I don't want to work at that building. Whether it's that building that's staying up right now and they keep it, or if they knock it down and build something else, I don't like what's going on over there.
Yeah, I would agree. No, there's no chance. And again, once it gets knocked down, you can't promise me that now you're going to have back-to-back, belly-to-belly, the sturdiest buildings there. You're due for a weak building. You're due.
You're due for a quarterback bust.
You have to be. You're absolutely due for an early retirement by Andrew Luck.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Our bold question today, do you believe Zion Williamson, reportedly over 300 pounds, currently weighs more than Mraz did at his heaviest, which is 298? On Twitter, you guys said, by a small margin, no. 55% of you believe no, Mraz was heavier. 45% said yes. A little bit skewed, well, a little bit more skewed for the Facebook crowd. 63% of you on Facebook said no. So most of you do not believe that Zion currently weighs more than 298. Here's the largest players in NBA history, heaviest. Oliver Miller, peak playing weight, 375. Shaq, peak playing weight, 360. Eddie Curry, 350. And Tractor Trailer, 320. I'm telling you, if Oliver Miller got to 375, it is not a stretch that Zion right now weighs 300. That's your advanced analytics and your poll question today. Let's get your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls, this exact discussion.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
He's a big boy with big lower trunk. The guy can absolutely, if he's not 300, he's in the 290s.
Look, I'm not denying that he's a big boy.
So you got a pork store.
What I am saying is you watch Zion play, he doesn't look like he has an ounce of fat on him. He really doesn't. He looks jacked up.
Well, muscle weighs more than fat.
All right.
You got to go to the pork store. I go to here.
First of all, I've heard that old wives' tale. Weight is weight, all right? A pound of feathers and a pound of bricks still weighs a pound. All right?
Oh, God.
Don't give his height. Just, you know he's big.
No height either.
No, I think it's stupid.
That's too invasive for you.
I think that we should cross some HIPAA laws there at some point.
What about age? Is that a HIPAA law violation?
No, age is fine.
A hippopotamus law.
Age is fine. I just think I get to get.
What about hand size?
Again, that falls into, you know, height, weight. I guess if you want to reveal it, it's fine. I would not feel comfortable if I was in the NBA with anybody knowing my weight.
Which is why they don't tell you how fat they actually are.
Exactly, which is why they always go down, which is why they're listed as a lighter weight than they are.
As the only one in this room who's ever come close to three spins, I find it highly offensive that you guys think you could judge what could be three spins.
Okay, let's put it this way. When was your peak heaviness?
Overnight days.
I got a family history of some pretty hefty people.
Okay, so 2013, let's say. You hit 298, you said.
I hit 298. So one to nothing got done on the show.
Okay. 2013 was pre-ranch dressing.
Okay.
Window,
so here,
right.
So guys, okay. So we put Mraz at 298 on a plank. Okay, a piece of some
right
type
on
of,
here,
of
on
wood,
this
some
desk.
Type of wood though
sure.
That we can lift. Okay, or he's in a chair like one of those Greek weddings.
No,
Mraz. Okay. So we put him in a chair at 298, and me, you, Bogues, Bilotti, and Kaplan, we all get each corner of the chair to lift him up.
Yeah.
Okay? We then get Zion, currently, and put him in the same chair. Who do you think it's tougher to get up?
Me.
No way. Zion.
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 And his weight is distributed better because he's taller. Me, the porker of all porkers.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Paul tweets, DA, that picture of Mraz looks like a busted can of biscuits. That's exactly what it looks like. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Skinny, in response to that picture, simply tweets, Bring me Solo and the Wookiee. Yes, Jabba the Hutt. Adriana tweets, I'm trashing anyone that dumps on Bogus's tropical paradise vacation. He's sitting on a beach drinking all day, and we're freezing our butts off trudging to work. He wins. I'll bring my kids to trade and wear the hell out of those bracelets.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
I agree. Carla tweets in, DA, I'm trashing drivers using the center turn lane as a driving lane. I'm listening in Meridian, Idaho on KTIK, The Ticket. Trash them as well, because once again, what we're talking about usually on this show is bad drivers on Trash Tuesday.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Adam Ray tweets, I'm trashing my Utah Jazz. If you get embarrassed by the Suns in your own home court, there's something you need to figure out and fast.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
CJ tweets, I'm trashing people who make the same unfunny joke every day but think they're hilarious.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
That's kind of the essence of this show. And Kyle tweets, I'm trashing Mraz for not accepting the fact that Zion is in fact at least two Jockalones.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer here on the show and the home of Hockey Pock. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Good to have him back. Audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines and Andrew Kaplan on the simulcast. I'm DA. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.